Welcome to Friend of Maryland. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Today on Friend of Maryland, I share some of my favorite fat things at the moment. I chat with Susanna Weiss about the objectification of fat bodies, and I spotlight a piece from the Fat Heffalump about experts about fatness being everywhere. To start off the show today, I thought I would chat about a few of my favorite fat things at the moment. First and foremost, have to give a shout out to Ashley Neal Tipton on Project Runway, this new season of Project Runway. She has been amazing on the show, even when she's been dealing with some really bitchy mean girls. I'm not sure how many of you have been watching in real time, but there was an episode where she was picked last for teams. And all I could think about, like, I kept having flashbacks to being the fat kid in gym class picked last. But she's amazing. Her fashion is amazing. Her positive attitude is amazing. I'm a bit irked by the show because they keep editing it to, you know, frame her as like the emotional crier. So she was the first person to cry on the show in episode one, and pretty much every episode since, they've usually included that. But she's amazing, and she's been great. She was on The Tonight Show with Fallon a while back. It was fantastic. I'm desperately trying to get her on my show. So, Ashley, if you're listening, come on my show. let's see. Some other favorite fat things at the moment would definitely have to be the new Tumblr, which is called Fat People Flipping You Off. So this is put together by the ever-amazing Substantia Jones of the Adiposity Project, Uppity Fatty, and Smile Sizist. This is her latest Tumblr adventure, and as you can probably guess from the title of said Tumblr, it is a bunch of photos of fat people flipping you off. It's pretty amazing. I believe she is taking submissions from fat people who'd like to provide her with photo or maybe GIFs or even video of themselves flipping people off, flipping off the camera, flipping us off, etc. I haven't actually put mine together yet because I feel like it needs to be something I really think about and, you know, like what should I be wearing and where should I be and, you know, I have to get the right motivation. Like, who exactly am I flipping off? Is it a specific person? Is it those mean bitches on Project Runway? Is it, you know, the fat-hating society in general? I don't really know yet, so I'll have to figure that out. So those are two of my favorite fat things at the moment. Ashley Tipton on Project Runway and Substantia Jones' new Tumblr, Fat People Flipping You Off. Check them out. Joining me today is Susanna Weiss, a New York-based writer whose work has appeared in The Washington Post, Salon, 17, Bustle & More. She holds degrees in gender and sexuality studies, modern culture and media, and cognitive neuroscience from Brown University. Susanna, thank you so much for coming on Friend of Maryland.
Yeah, thank you.
So tell me a little bit more about, you know, kind of your interest in, like, the gendered binaries around eating disorder narratives.
Well, I had an eating disorder when I was in high school, and I think that looking back, it had to do with a lot of things. But one thing in particular that I've thought a lot about is how it had to do with the objectification of women. And when I was in college, I wrote a thesis about how different narratives of eating disorders have this common thread of the eating disorder being personified as a masculine figure that's looking at the woman who's telling the story and is judging her and is objectifying her.
Mm.
So I think that while eating disorders aren't necessarily just toward women, I think they have a lot to do with the societal objectification of women.
And that's something that you're quite interested in, is that objectification of women and their bodies.
Yeah.
Can you talk? Can you talk about, you know, kind of what kinds of things kind of catch your eye when you think about that, or why you decide to write the kinds of stories that you do?
Yeah. So I think when I had an eating disorder, and just in general in the media, I see a lot of narratives about how men like curves and real women have curves, mm. and my anaconda don't want none unless you've got buns. And while there is room to reassure people that, like, being fat doesn't mean you will be alone forever, I feel that there's too much focus on the fact that men don't like your body when you have an eating disorder, so you shouldn't have an eating disorder. And that still plays into the same logic that causes eating disorders, which is that, in my experience and of a lot of people I know and have read about, objectification also causes eating disorders because women feel that they will be objectified and harassed and assaulted if they have bodies that are sexually attractive. And a lot of women try to either make themselves too thin to have curves or overeat and try to hide their curves with fat. And so reassuring women that they can basically be objects at any size is not really challenging the logic that causes a lot of eating disorders.
I think it's a really interesting, it's a really interesting complex kind of paradox that we're trying to untangle, in the sense of, in a lot of ways, you know, what we're seeing kind of fat activist communities and activists working on is, you know, there's kind of a whole brand of, you know, well, fat can be beautiful and fat is also sexy and all of these kinds of things that, again, kind of plays into that heteronormative, you know, the purpose of a woman's body is to produce an erection and, you know, fat people can do that as well. When, you know, on the flip side of that, it could be like, well, why aren't we just saying, you know, yeah, like, fuck your beauty. You know what I mean? Like, we don't want to be beautiful. We don't have to be beautiful, you know. That's kind of the larger problem. And I think that the piece that, you know, the piece that I had come across that you had written about, pageants for fat women, you know, kind of how it's one of those, like, two steps forward, one step back. Because, again, in a lot of ways, it seems like progress to say, oh, okay, so we're now recognizing the beauty that, you know, is available in other kinds of bodies. But at the same time, it's the continual objectification of women's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's
I'm curious how you feel about plus-size beauty pageants as a fat person.
I mean, I think that, I want fat people of all ages, genders, and whatnot to be able to participate in the lives that they want to lead. And so, you know, for a subsection of that, that's going to be engaging in beauty pageants, just like there's a subsection of the non-fat population that enjoys that and wants that to be part of what they do. But I definitely, you know, also as a feminist, can recognize, you know, the inherent issues around power and heteronormativity and other things such as that, where, and it does, like I said, it feels in a lot of ways like that two steps forward, one step back. And I'll never forget when Caitlyn Jenner's cover of Vanity Fair came out, Jon Stewart actually did a really great segment about how, mm-hmm. you know, the response from most of the mainstream media was like, hey, she's hot. Hey, I'd fuck her. Like, hey, that's, you know, and it was very much like, you know, congratulations, Caitlyn Jenner. You know, like, you are now a woman and you're now being treated like one. And so, yeah, like, you know, I think there's obviously a lot of problematic things that are tied up when, you know, we put so much value on worth being tied to beauty.
Yeah.
So what kind of response, I mean, besides someone like me, like reaching out and saying, hey, this is a great piece, I'd love for you to come on my show. do you remember what other kinds of responses you got specifically to that piece about fat beauty pageants?
Well, my editor actually warned me not to read the comments because apparently a men's rights group had gotten a hold of them. So, and I actually had to have a friend delete my Twitter notifications for me because they were getting nasty. So I actually am pretty oblivious to the response. I know that there were some positive responses. There were some people affirming, like, marketing campaigns are campaigns, like, and basically affirming that those depictions of plus size women as sexy can be problematic. And there were some people who agreed, but there was definitely a lot of negative reaction, and I'm not quite sure what it was because I try not to subject myself to
right.
that.
Well, the number one rule of surviving on the internet as a woman is, don't read the comments. I think something else that I really liked that you highlighted on your in that piece specifically was how very gendered this is, in the sense of how we respond differently, to bodies based on gender. And like you specifically kind of talked about the Sean, the dancing man, and the response that came from what happened to him, and, whether or not that same kind of response would have been, offered up to a woman in that same situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I never thought about what someone would do if he was a woman. I'm not sure if people would have been that nice, because even he would have to be conventionally attractive, I think, in addition to being fat, in order for people to be that nice to her, probably.
More than likely, yeah. Yeah, so, I thought that was interesting in terms of, the value of appearance and the way through socialization the different genders are socialized to both, kind of consider their own appearance, but then also consider others, and then to also consider how others consider their own. And yeah, pretty complex to try to break down in a 10-minute radio show. But I did want to get you on because I thought it was a great piece. And hopefully, if there's anyone out there that hasn't read it, they will. That was the Washington Post, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can find that piece on the Washington Post. I'm sure, actually, if they just Google your name, it'll probably pop up that way. But Susanna, I want to just say thank you so much for coming on Friend of Maryland today. It was really great to chat with you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Spotlight today is a piece from the Fat Heffalump, published on August 30th, 2015. It's entitled Experts Everywhere. Quote, "So I'm not writing as much as I used to. I want to, but I'm just so bloody tired. No, not physically tired. On that front, I'm feeling pretty perky, especially since I've just had a lovely two-week holiday. I'm intellectually and emotionally tired, worn down by all the experts who spend all their time examining every tiny scrap of fat people's lives online to pipe up with their expert opinion. Doesn't matter what it is, a selfie of your new haircut, a picture of the cute manicure you just gave yourself, a post talking about your experience going to the doctor and being treated horribly, a conversation about how hard it is to get nice clothes on your side, participating in an interview about how fat people have the right to live their lives in peace, a picture of a fancy meal you went out to. It just doesn't matter. If you're fat and you post anything online, you're going to have a group of very sad people who literally spend all their spare time lurking, just waiting for that moment they can leap out at you with their expertise.
fellow fatties, you know them, don't you? You've met them all. The young pharmacy tech. I'm a pharmacy tech, and I can tell you, honey, you work in a shop. Nothing wrong with working in a shop, but you're not a medical professional. You haven't done a medical degree. You haven't been out of high school long enough. You work in a shop that sells Band-Aids and hair products and vitamin pills, and when someone comes in for a prescription, you have to hand it over to the pharmacist who does have some qualifications. You are not an expert on fat people. The protein shake huffing Fitspo expert who spends every spare minute of their time lurking about fat activist pages, trying to stir up hate from other protein shake huffing Fitspo experts, and really badly photoshopping fat women's photos and making whale and pig jokes, as if any of that is original, new, or indicative of any expertise. You don't like women, and you think their only value is to make your dick hard. You are not an expert on fat people. The young student who has a seemingly normal life on the surface, but hates herself so much she uses a picture of a pretty girl from Pinterest to create a fake Facebook account to troll fat women. Instead of enjoying the seemingly normal life she has, she feels the need to try to make fat women feel bad about themselves in a vain attempt to build up her own self-esteem. It doesn't work, kiddo. You are not an expert on fat people. How about the formal fatty who, through violent, invasive, or radical means, has made themselves thin for a while? They are clinging precariously to their new thinness and watching it slip through their fingers like sand, but instead of realizing that they are only harming themselves, has to turn that fear and frustration to bullying fat people online to try to cling to the myth of thinness. You are not an expert on fat people. I could go on. They are all the same, though, that 95% of them fit into the descriptions above. Several of them will claim that I am referring directly to them, and they're right, but they're also wrong. I'm referring to the collective them. They're not even unique, a dime a dozen. If only I could find a way to monetize all the experts rushing to give me their opinion on my body, my life, and my rights. I would be able to give up my day job and write all the time. The really sad thing is that these people actually do believe they know our bodies better than we do. They really do believe that their opinion holds value in the world when it comes to fat people in our lives. They believe that the Daily Mail article quoting some diet company-funded study, or this sour-faced woman on telly saying she'd euthanize fat people they saw, overrides our actual experience. They come at us with a patronizing tone, explaining things at us as though they're speaking to a small child. Half of these experts haven't even experienced adulthood yet. I'm 43 in a couple of months. I think I've experienced a little bit more than some 22-year-old student or a 19-year-old pharmacy tech. Not to mention that most of us who engage in fat activism have spent years working on this stuff. And I mean actually working, not spending a few minutes listening to Dr. Oz. We've researched, written, participated in, and read hundreds of books and studies on the subject. And those are just the ones in my collection, by no means an exhaustive list of the work that has been done. We organize, attend, and participate in conferences on the subject. Many fat activists are academics and professionals in health, sociology, dietetics, epidemiology, human rights, and various other fields that study fatness. These are the actual professional experts on the subjects. So to all of my beloved fellow fats who are just so fucking fed up with all the randos popping up in your life to spew their unsolicited expertise on your body and your life, I say this. You are the world's leading expert on your life and your body. There is not another person on this earth that knows you, your life, and your body like you do. You are the one who has lived your life, lived in your body for however long you have been alive. It's the only thing that I can actually say you are an expert on, though you are likely an expert on other areas. Don't let anyone try to make you feel otherwise. And to all the experts who like to crop up online everywhere and tell fat people we're going to die or that we're ugly, go and read the books and studies on the list I've linked to above. And I mean actually read them from cover to cover, not just skim a few pages and claim to have read them. Then you will have at least the same pool of research knowledge than I do. Then we can talk. Until then, you know where you can shove your opinion. Because that's all it is, and opinions are like assholes. Everyone may have one, but not everyone wants to hear it. End quote. Thanks for listening to another episode of Friend of Maryland. Friend of Maryland is brought to you by Access Manawatu 999 AM. If you'd like to contact the show with questions, comments, concerns, or suggestions for topics or guests, please email us, friendofmaryland@aol.com. You can also find Friend of Maryland on Twitter and Tumblr. Closing the show is Root Boy Slim with Sugar Daddy.
Oh, you like Trailways? I usually go by Cadillac Eldorado myself. See that car parked over there? That's my Eldorado, baby. I wanna go for a ride. I know you're just up from South Carolina. You're new to the city, but let me show you around a little bit. You're so foxy and so pretty.
Score down there, so good luck, and I'll see you later.